This is Deborah Lynn Dadd with Toxic Free Talk Radio. And in this hour, we're going to be talking with Mary Cordaro, who is an environmental consultant and certified biologist. And I've known her for years. And while we're waiting for Mary to call in, I see we have a caller. So I'm going to take this caller and see what the question is. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Deborah Lynn Dadd. Hello? Caller? Well, okay. So, we're doing this. I've been sitting here for 3 hours already. Okay, so we're doing this marathon now, and here's Mary. But I'll say, we've been doing this marathon. It's going to be a 12-hour marathon. I'm going to be sitting here until midnight tonight. We're talking about how you can reduce your exposure to toxic chemicals. We're going to be talking about toxic chemicals, their health effects, how you can remove them from your home and your body. And I'm going to be sitting here for another 7 hours till midnight tonight, Eastern time. And let me tell you, I've already been doing this for 3 hours and I am not bored. I haven't been bored for 1 second because our guests have been so interesting. And this is such an interesting topic. And I'm going to go to Mary now because I'm sure that she and I could talk for many, many hours. Hi, Mary. You're on the air with Deborah Lynn Dadd.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me. This is so great.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your book. It's fantastic.
Thank you. I really think this is the best book that I've ever written. And it, as I've been saying, that it really is different than what I've been saying before, that I still am giving that message that we need to reduce our toxic exposures, but I've also added to it that we now need to be taking a look at how we get the toxic chemicals out of our bodies.
Yeah.
And we're actually going to be talking about that a lot in the 5 o'clock hour when Dr. Steve Lund is going to be back with us again. But in this hour, we're going to be talking with Mary about indoor air pollution and building and interiors materials, because Mary is so knowledgeable about this. I just want to tell you a little bit about Mary first, and then we'll talk to her. Mary Cordaro is an environmental consultant and certified biologist, and she's been consulting on healthy and sustainable building materials, indoors, interiors, and indoor air quality for 20 years. And she does that on a commercial and residential basis. She specializes in energy-efficient, healthy building and remodeling, diagnosing and solving contaminant problems in the workplace and home, and practical, healthy building and lifestyle education. She incorporates low-consumption, ecological lifestyle philosophy with her expertise in the fields of biobiology, building science, and green building, to address indoor environmental concerns associated with planetary and human health. And I want to point out that this is an unusual thing, and one of the things that I appreciate most about Mary, because there's so many people who have either a green environmental perspective or a health perspective, and they treat them as if they're two separate things. And in fact, Mary and I both understand that it's all one unit, and that something can't be good for health and be bad for the environment, because the environment supports our very life. If we didn't have a planet to live on, we would not have food and air and water. We just would not be able to survive. And so in order to be healthy, we really need to be looking at the big picture of what's going on with the environment. And Mary and I share that viewpoint of looking at both. Don't assume that something called green is healthy, because a lot of people who have a green perspective are not looking at toxics. And this is one of the reasons why I chose to really focus on toxics. I was doing a lot of work with green products for a long time, but I just decided that I was last year that I'm just going to focus on toxics, because toxics are the biggest threat to the health and the environment, in my opinion, right now, because we could be recycling all we want and reducing consumption all we want, but if toxic chemicals are there making us sick, they're going to win. So we need to be the ones who stand up and say no to toxic chemicals. So Mary, oh, it's so great to talk to you. I always love talking to you. Tell us how you got into this field. What was the factor in your life that made you say, I need to learn about healthy houses?
Well, probably very similar to your story, Deborah. Like you, I was, you know, pretty sick in the early days. And in the mid-80s, I decided that I had to learn how to make my own house healthy. That's where it all started, because I had such serious allergies and asthma and chemical sensitivities, you know, just about everything. I became pretty incapacitated after a life of exposures, including to brand new corporate buildings. I used to have a corporate life before I got into the environmental field. And I was involved in corporate training, which is one of the reasons I like to teach so much. So I decided to study this course, which was brand new here in the U.S. at the time. It's called Bau Biology, which is spelled B-A-U, and then biology with an I-E on the end. It was the only thing that was offered at the time.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to ask you, explain what Bau Biology is.
Bau Biology is a field from Germany, and it's the study of how living and working environments affect human and planetary health, and it's a course of study that teaches people to either be inspectors, where they inspect homes for chemicals, electromagnetic fields, mold, all kinds of things, radiation, or to build natural homes, and or to remediate homes. And it's you can take various specializations. I chose the specialization of materials, so I don't go home to home and inspect homes, but I have a team of people who do that part of it now. So that's what it is. It's based on standards, equipment, all kinds of scientific validation for all of the levels that we feel are healthy for any known substance in the home. It's a very, very rigorous study. There's a school here in the U.S., but it started in Germany, and most of my affiliation is directly with the Germans. They're the most advanced in this.
I'm familiar with the school here in the United States because I don't know if it's still in Clearwater where I live, but it used to be in Clearwater. And do you know, is it still in Clearwater, Mary?
I think they still hold some classes there, but they're not so much based there as they used to be. They're kind of all over the place now. And the director's in Arizona, actually. Right.
Yeah. But while they were still in Clearwater, I actually had the very fortunate opportunity to have the particular class of inspectors who were doing their final examination come and do their final examination by inspecting my house. And so I got to see the quality of what was being taught in this course. And I was extremely impressed. And I got to, in fact, have my air quality measured by all this fancy equipment, and they found no toxic chemicals.
Mm-hmm. So great.
It's just verified. I mean, I was just going by knowing and researching what was in the product that I was using, and they came along and they verified that my house was not toxic. So it was great, and this is a very excellent program.
Yeah, so it really is good. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go on with your story.
Oh, okay. So basically I took this course, which, you know, prepared me to do the basics in inspections, but also taught me what natural building is. And taking that course and graduating, I was with the first class that graduated in the early 90s. That was the tip of the iceberg for me, because then I realized that it's an enormous field and there is absolutely no way that anybody could be an expert in all of it. So I proceeded to learn, you know, how to build the kind of buildings we build here. I had to learn construction. I had to learn building science over the years, which is also critical to
understanding. Tell us what building science is. Building
science is really the physics of how the house works. It's the physics, the interaction of moisture with the materials, the interaction of the pressures in the building and how the air moves around the building. It's really the physics as opposed to the materials. So when you understand building science, you have an enormous piece of the puzzle to create a truly healthy home that you don't get from just using all the right materials. This teaches you how to either passively or mechanically control the air, how to keep moisture out of the building, what to do with buildings that already are built and may have moisture problems, and all kinds of stuff about perimeter drainage and using the right materials and the right mechanical systems for the climate region you're in. That is a big part of it, using knowledge about weather conditions and climate conditions along with how your house is built, and choices of both materials as well as systems like, you know, air conditioning and heating and so forth. So that was a major piece for me. And after I'm still studying that. It's a huge topic. But what I really understood is that all these specializations, whether it's mine, which is materials, healthy materials, building science, mold and moisture, the understanding about that, how to test for it, what to do about it, EMFs, these are electromagnetic fields. These are all such technical areas that it worked much more for me to pull a team together of some of the top specialists in the country that I work with. So we all put our heads together and our expertise together to come up with systems and materials and design for the home in a way that I think one person doing it by themselves would find it very difficult. Again, this is more the technical end of it. And then my job is to put all the pieces together. You know, people mm-hmm. call me either when they want to build or they have a problem, and I bring in the correct specialist, and I also recommend the materials.
Over the years, how have you seen building and interior materials change?
That's a great question. Well, I think the most obvious thing is the green building industry, which, of course, has completely exploded. And I wish I were seeing more green building materials that I liked. But what I'm seeing, and actually there are more than there used to be, but what I'm seeing is just an enormous number of green building materials that I don't feel are healthy. However,
and why? Why do you think that they're not healthy? What's the problem with it?
I think the biggest reason is that when materials are looked at either for just energy conservation.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, an example would be a lot of people are sealing up their homes now and putting in tight windows and doing other things to save energy, which is a good thing to save energy. But the materials that they're using are often creating a much more serious toxic house than if they hadn't done all of that in the first place. Like, for example, the foam sealants the foam sealants are the cocks that expand when they come out of the can. Insulation, even green insulation that's foam. Some of these things are being used without the knowledge of the chemicals that are in them, particularly flame retardants, and they're creating really toxic houses with these materials in order to save energy.
And one of the ways that we really started looking at indoor air quality, actually, back in the 70s when they were starting to tighten homes for energy efficiency. And the older houses have all these cracks that are giving all this ventilation. So in times past, there were many fewer toxic building materials and toxic less toxic products that we're using on a daily basis, and there was more ventilation in the houses. And then in the 70s, they started building these energy-efficient homes that were very tight and didn't have all those little cracks for ventilation. And even then, that's kind of how they found out about indoor air pollution, was at that point. Mm-hmm. Now what's happening is that we're making these tight buildings and we're using toxic materials to make them tight. And so we're putting toxic materials in the buildings and we're sealing them up so that they can't go anywhere.
Exactly. And I think the reason that people are lulled into a sense of it's healthy is because most of the industry, green building industry, is only looking at VOCs, for example. Volatile organic compounds, you know, usually those are the things you can smell, of course, the chemicals in the air that volatilize at room temperature. But long after those smelly VOCs go away, you're left with these chemicals that never go away. In fact, the levels get worse over time. And those are the types of things that the green building industry is still using. There's certainly more knowledge about it now than there was, but it's the green building industry has a long way to catch up with that. But I agree with you. When we do go into homes and we remodel older homes, the older meaning before the 60s, like from the 50s back, the buildings breathed so much better. There was a lot more air exchange. The materials, even though we had some problems like lead paint, of course, and asbestos, we also had lime-based plasters. We had a lot less cellulose in the building, like paper on drywall, for example. We had redwood lath. That's the redwood is, or cedar, which held the plaster together. We had all these materials that didn't mold very easily and didn't have chemicals in them, and we really don't have that anymore. We're now building with materials that mold just loves to eat. A lot of mold food.
Yeah. Here in Florida, we have a lot of problem with mold, but our house was built in 1940, mm-hmm. and it has plaster walls. And when we remodeled our bathroom, we used clay plaster, colored clay plaster, instead of paint. And it was the most wonderful thing to work with. And I just love these old houses because of all these old materials. And they have a different feel to them in terms of just, you know, I think that our bodies are comfortable when they're around natural materials, mm-hmm. and that there's an inherent discomfort when they're around toxic materials. And I walk into, like, new construction, and I just want to walk right out because my body just, you know, toxic or not, it just doesn't want to be in that kind of strange environment. That our bodies want to be around the materials that they evolved with.
Yes.
Out in nature. And I made a decision many years ago not to live in new construction, and I always am looking for old houses to live in, and I just really like the house I have right now.
Yeah, that's great, Deborah. I bet it's wonderful. And I live in an older house too. It's about 15 years newer than yours, but it's still from the 50s. And so it also has a lot of those old materials, which are really wonderful, and I really also appreciate that. And I feel very in tune with you, always have, about using natural materials as much as possible, which can be tricky for some people. Using natural materials in a conventional home, especially one that's not older, can be tricky. You have to kind of know what you're doing in order to combine both the conventional materials that are already there with the new natural materials. But if possible, it really is a much, much better way to go. I totally agree. It's just your whole body just feels so much more relaxed and at home when you're surrounded at least by natural surfaces, at least, you know.
Yes. Are you still in the same house that I visited?
Yes.
Yeah, Mary has a wonderful house. I actually spent the night and slept in Mary's house, and it is so comfortable with all the things that she's done. She lives in the middle of Los Angeles, like about the most polluted place that you could find. But inside Mary's house, she has the air filtration down so good that you just feel very, very, very comfortable. And she's got all these great natural materials and soft colors, and it's one of the most comfortable places I've ever been. You've done a great job.
Oh, Deborah, thanks. That's an enormous, enormous compliment coming from you, and I'm so honored and pleased that you got to be here and stay here with me. That was a real wonderful experience to have you here.
It was a wonderful experience for me to be there. And you know what? I've been forgetting. If people are on the page where there's like a little player and you're seeing pictures go by, Mary is the one with who else is up there? She's the one. Where are we? April. Okay, so April's the one that doesn't have glasses, and Mary is the one with the glasses. So you'll you can tell what Mary looks like.
That's a good way.
Okay, and go ahead.
Okay, so you know, speaking of natural materials, you know, my first love is natural building. That's actually why I got into biobiology in the first place, is because it's part of what you learn is how, at least the German version at the time, was how to build with natural materials from scratch. And so, you know, a good part of the 90s I spent going from one hands-on class to another, learning how to build with adobe and straw bale and natural plasters and all these things that most of us will never get to use, because, you know, you have to live in a special kind of code-free place much of the time to build this way. It's an unusual way of building, but it's natural and it's traditional, actually.
But don't you think that's the way we should be building?
Yes, it is the way we should be building.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. If that, to me, would be, you know, it would solve so many problems if we could all live in these materials that are from the earth. Health would just take such a huge turn for the better for everyone if we lived in these natural homes. But, you know, of course, and it's so fun to learn about it and to be in those homes and to actually sleep in them and feel the difference. It's just remarkable. But what's really good about learning all that, too, is that we can borrow some of it and apply to our conventionally built light-framed houses. We call them stick houses because they have 2x4, you know, framing inside the walls with these little wall cavities. And, you know, Deborah and I and lots of people call those stick houses. And we can borrow from natural building with our surfaces, for sure. And even some other things can be borrowed from natural building to bring our conventional homes to a much more natural and nurturing and healing feel. So way beyond just non-toxic, but actually healing and natural, as I know Deborah loves that approach too, don't you, Deborah?
I absolutely do, and I'd like to. This seems like a good time to interject one of my basic philosophies. And that is that working in the field of toxics, it's like there's this big problem of toxics. And so in our minds, we think, well, what's not toxic? Mm-hmm. And when I started looking at that decades ago, it opened up a whole new world for me, because it's not just saying, well, there's toxic paint, and now here's one that's labeled non-toxic. Mm-hmm. It's that there's this whole different way of thinking about life that is not only not toxic, but it's actually life enhancing. Right. And it's based in being attuned with nature and by restoring our natural state as human beings and creating environments to live in that are in alignment with the earth. And just there's a whole life that comes out of that philosophy. And and that all in and of itself is not toxic. Except here's the problem. The problem is, I feel very sad about what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because I think it's important for us to all just acknowledge this. I used to have an idea that, for me, it was the toxic industrial world versus the not toxic, natural, nurturing nature world. And I was always trying to learn about nature and use natural materials and be part of that natural system. And last year, what I found out was that even though the information has been available all along. Last year, while I was researching my new book, Toxic Free, I really understood that the entire environment is polluted. Mm-hmm. And it has been since before I was born. And this was when I read, I mentioned this earlier today, but I'll mention it again, is when I read Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. Mm-hmm. And I found out that they've known since 1944 that DDT was ubiquitous in the environment and that every living thing on Earth was already polluted with DDT in 1944, which means that when I was born in 1955, my mother's body was already polluted with DDT and who knows what else. And DDT was banned in the 1970s because it was so toxic. And so this is like the heritage that each one of us has today is that if we were born since 1944, we were all born like those babies in the environmental working group study with toxic chemicals in our body. This is not the way nature intended it. It's not what Mother Nature designed. This is not what we've evolved to do. But it is the case. And so what makes me feel sad and what has prompted me to look at the bigger picture about toxics and be like devoted to this with a new zeal at this point after doing it for so many years is that I can't just go to nature now and have nature be the safe haven for me because it's so polluted. Mm-hmm. And that I need to be looking at how can I be not only safeguarding and protecting my own health, but what do we need to do that for the planet too? Because we need to be able to have nature heal us. And instead of doing that, we're destroying it. And that's just the truth.
Yep.
Pretty sad, huh?
Yeah, it's so true though, Deborah. I agree with you completely. It's a really big concept to absorb and grasp.
It is, but you know, here's the hope. Here's the hope because when I saw that, I really said to myself, I really need to write this book. I need to finish this book and I need to get this information out because what is destroying, what is polluting the environment is not something out there or some alien invaders from another planet. What's polluting the environment is us.
That's right.
It's the choices that we're making every day. And it's mm-hmm. not the corporations. We're buying the stuff that the corporations
right.
make.
Right.
And it all comes down to our choices. The change on the planet is going to happen by each one of us making toxic-free choices in our own lives, in our own homes, mm-hmm. And in our own bodies. And with that, I'm just going to take a break, and we'll be back in 15 seconds. We're back. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we are having a marathon today, 12 hours of talking about toxics. We're talking about toxic chemicals, their health effects, how you can remove them from your home and body until midnight tonight Eastern Time. And we are now in hour 4, and I've been sitting here talking with my guests for 3 hours, at 3.5 hours, and I'm not bored yet. It's so interesting. We're doing this today to celebrate the publication of my new book, Toxic Free. And again, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're here with Mary Cordaro, environmental consultant and certified biologist, talking about indoor air quality, interiors, and building materials. Okay, Mary, so tell us some things that we can do. What are some choices that we can make that are less toxic with regards to creating better indoor air quality?
Well, I think there's so many ways to go at this. I think, you know, if we want to just focus on a couple of things, I would say that the two biggest areas that you, well, let's say three. I'll try to keep this short and pithy, though.
Okay.
One is to really control moisture. I mean, this is so critical. Most people don't realize that, you know, if you simply look around the perimeter of your house on the outside and see where water hits the building, even if it's just a lot, either liquid or a lot of moisture vapor, just dampness from either rain or irrigation, and get control of that. Make sure that that is not happening in your house, and always repair leaks immediately. That's going to be very preventive. So many of the cases I deal with are around mold, and you can do a lot to prevent it. I would say the second thing is, besides looking at the materials you use in your house and making sure they're as chemical-free as possible and using no VOC materials, and, you know, I'm sure Deborah's talked to you a lot about VOCs, and it's a lot on her website.
We actually haven't talked about them today, and
okay.
you're going to be, this is the time to talk about them.
Okay,
but there
great.
Is a lot on my website, and there are VOC, lots of products, I should say probably here, that there, for those of you who aren't already familiar with my website, you can go there by just going to DeborahNonToxic.com, and that's DeborahNonToxic.com. Mm-hmm. And that page has links to all the parts of my website. And one part is Deborah's List, where it has lists of products and websites that sell toxic-free products. But there's also Green Living Q&A, and that's a place where you can ask your questions for free, like we're doing today, and you get answers from me, but also all my readers. And you can also call me up for a consultation, a paid consultation, and I should give the number for the callers. It's 877, I was having such a good time talking to you, I forgot about the callers. 877-497-1811. That's 877-497-1811. You can call and ask me a question or a question for Mary. So there is a lot of other information available. So tell us about VOCs.
Okay, well, VOCs, that stands for volatile organic compounds, and those are the chemicals that when they hit room temperature, they volatilize. In other words, they become a gas. They get into the air, and most of the time you can smell it. Sometimes you can't. And now it's pretty easy to get a lot of lifestyle products that are no VOC or low VOC, and Deborah's got an enormous assortment to on her website. Building materials, it's a little tougher, but you can still pick building materials that are certified or you know, they are have been tested, and they say preferably zero low or no VOC. But, you know, that's an easier thing to do than this other type of chemical category I'm going to tell you about, and I think it's probably even more important. And those are the chemicals that are not VOCs, and they never go away. They are not listed, and they are not disclosed. You actually have to call the manufacturer to ask them if they use a class of chemicals called organophosphates. Organophosphates include flame retardants in all kinds of materials. You'd be shocked at how many materials they're in. Biocides, those are the antimicrobial, antibacterial, antifungal chemicals. And also, besides organophosphates, we have plasticizers. Those are the phthalates and that come out of vinyl and PVC. These chemicals all come under a big category called semi-volatile organic compounds. And right now, the green building industry has absolutely very little clue about this. There's some information out there about biocides. Those are, again, antimicrobial chemicals, and some about flame retardants. But in general, they're still widely used in most green building products. So I would say whenever you're picking anything new for your house that's going to remain in your house, double check. Call the manufacturer and make sure that they don't include organophosphate flame retardants, any kind of PVC or vinyl, or any kind of antibacterial, antimicrobial chemicals. If you already have PVC in your house, This is a big, one enormous way to improve indoor air quality. You may have a lot of vinyl flooring. A lot of people have vinyl flooring left over from, you know, older houses, for example, or just, you know, cheaper flooring if somebody couldn't afford to put in ceramic tile or stone, for example, in kitchens and bathrooms. And you may not smell it anymore, but it's really polluting your house the older it gets. So I would replace that as soon as you can. That's a really big way to improve indoor air quality in a house.
How is it? I always thought it was the other way around, that it was the most toxic when it's new and it gets less toxic as it gets older. What's the mechanism behind PVC being more polluting the older it gets?
That's a great question. Unlike VOCs as a gas eventually dissipate, so that's very true. And vinyl flooring and any PVC has VOCs in the beginning, and those go away over time. So the older it gets, the fewer VOCs, the better that gets. But unfortunately, the SVOCs, the semi-volatile organic compounds, those don't really become a gas. What they do is they unstick from the vinyl or the PVC, and they then jump onto your house dust and also surfaces in the house. And the older it gets, the older the PVC, the vinyl gets, and this is also true for flame retardants in anything, the older the material gets, the more it's breaking down over time naturally, the more of these chemicals unbind from the source and stick to your house dust. So you're literally ingesting chemicals along with the house dust that goes in your mouth and nose. So if you can't get rid of these materials, then one really good way to at least reduce your exposure is extremely good dust control. That means using a HEPA vacuum, putting a HEPA air filter in your, especially in your bedroom, that's the most important area, and you know, keeping your air filters clean in your furnace and AC. Any kind of really good dust control is going to cut down on the number of the amount of chemicals that you breathe in along with dust.
Excellent. I'm really glad that we talked about that. I'm just going to give the number again for if you want to call in and ask me a question or ask Mary. The number is 877-497-1811. That's 877-497-1811. Wow. So where should we go from here?
Well, I just wanted to say I'm so glad that in your book you're not only addressing toxins in the house and what to do about them, but also toxins in the body and how to get rid of them. Because I think, you know, just going back to your earlier comment, Deborah, about the fact that nature is pretty polluted and how sad that is, the good news is, and this is what you're addressing so well, that when you stop the exposures in your own home, and most importantly in the bedroom, so that you're living in a healthy environment and you're working on your body in ways I know other guests are talking about, then the body has the most amazing resilience. It can really can heal as long as the exposures stop and we know what to do to get the accumulation that's in the body down already. And you know, one of my big focuses now is to work more with pregnant women and women planning to have children. Hopefully at that stage it's even more important, because if they can become as clean as possible and live in a non-toxic environment before the baby is born,
absolutely,
the child's going to have such a good chance of hopefully, you know, a much healthier life and a much more conscious life, obviously, being raised that way.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out, going back to your earlier comment, Deborah.
Yes, I really think that if there's one group of people that should be paying attention to this, it's women who are planning to conceive.
That's right.
And pregnant women, too. But if you're planning on having children, this is really, and it's not just the mom. It's men need to be, if you want to have children, men are also impregnating the women with toxic chemicals. which all become part, and damaged DNA, which all becomes part of our future species.
That's right.
It really, we're changing, the world is getting changed by toxic chemicals, and not in a good way. I have another caller here. Let's see if we can connect.
Hello.
Hello, caller? You're
Hi,
on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right. I just caught a few snippets of the show so far. I heard you say talk about the semi-VOC products. Is there a place to go or a list of products that would not contain these instead of, you know, starting from looking at the product and then researching that? Is there like a list to start with anywhere?
Would you like me to answer that, Deborah, or do you want to answer it?
Go ahead.
For the semi-volatile organic compounds, there's really no published list on the internet right now. I, of course, when I write specs and work with clients, I'm furnishing people with lists of materials to use depending on what they're doing to the house. But really the best thing that you can do until this becomes more well-known is to really, you know, call a manufacturer before you purchase something. Double-check first that it's no VOC, and once you know that it's no VOC, then just call and ask three basic questions. Does this contain organophosphate chemicals like flame retardants, biocides, or does it contain any plasticizers? And they it's not going to be listed on a material safety data sheet, by the way. That's by law, every manufacturer has to make something called, has to generate a document called a material safety data sheet. That does not list SVOCs, so you have to call and ask.
Does not list them.
Does not list.
Wow.
They're not required to disclose them because by weight, it's such a tiny amount that falls below what they're required to disclose.
Wow.
So, and this is probably, you know, the biggest untapped area in green materials right now. And it's an enormous topic. We're actually doing dust tests in people's houses to test the chemicals that are in the dust so that we can go and look for the sources in the house because, you know, it's hard to tell if you have it. You can't smell it. But if you're buying new materials, absolutely just ask those three questions after you first screen that it's a no VOC or a low VOC product. And hopefully someday there will be more and more things on the market without these chemicals. But unfortunately, they're not published yet.
Okay, great. So are there safe alternatives out there?
I'd like to answer that question, too. I'm sorry, would you ask your second question again? Because I was talking.
But are there safe alternatives out there? I actually have a teenager with severe chemical sensitivities, and we have been looking for 4 years, can't find a safe place or location or building to live in. I'm just wondering, really, are there any safe products out there?
I'll look on my website, Deborah's List, deborahslist.com, and I've been looking for toxic-free products for 30 years, and the direction that I go is that I haven't been, like, I'm aware of what these chemicals are, like, I don't want it to have phthalates on it, or I don't want it to have PVC, but I didn't know all of this background information that Mary has just given you. But if you start at the other end, instead of saying, how can I have, like a sofa that I would buy at a brand name furniture store, how can I have that without fire retardants? But you go all the way to the other side and say, what's the most natural thing that I can buy? Then you can start finding those products. And so I've been like avoiding things with PVC and antimicrobials and flame retardants. So a lot, if you just go to Deborah's List, that'll be a good place to start. And then you can confirm with those people, do they not have these three things? And I bet you in a lot of cases you're going to find that, like, the furniture makers and the people who are making rugs and things, they're not going to have these chemicals on it. I just want to say something about an experience that I had, especially with sofas, because sofas are a big area of where you're going to find flame retardants. I had my sofa made about 15 years ago, I think. And what I did was I went to an auction and I bought a sofa for $50, an old sofa frame. I mean, it was a sofa, but I just was only going to use a frame. I took it to an upholsterer and I had him strip off every piece of material so that all that was left was the wood frame. And then, and it was a the old-fashioned kind that has springs in the cushions because I didn't want any foam. So then he rebuilt it only using the organic materials that I gave him. And at that particular time, you couldn't really get organic upholstery fabric. But when I went to get the upholstery fabric, I knew that I didn't want flame retardants. And if you actually go to not a fabric store, but if you go with a decorator to the fabric showroom, it's labeled if it's got stain resistance or fire retardants or any of those things on it, and it, because those are all benefits, and so they want you to know. And so, but they also sell a lot that have no finishes at all, and that's how I ended up getting my untreated upholstery fabric.
Did you get it from a fabric showroom?
Actually, what I ended up with, I got from a fabric store, but I went shopping one day with a designer, and I saw what they have in the showroom, so it's different from what they have in a fabric store. What I got was 100% linen, and this 100% linen is still going strong all these years later.
Wow,
there's no wear on it at all.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's beautiful, and I have no problems with it, and there's nothing toxic about it. And I did a sofa, and I did a wing chair. And I just am so happy that I spent the money to do it. It's just that, so you can't walk into stores and find these kinds of things, but just so much of what I have in my house are things that I either had made for me, or I was fortunate to have a husband who could build things and that I could say to him, like my desk that I have here, we got at a salvage yard, and it's solid oak from, it's a Stanford University library table. And we just cut the edges off of it because it was, they were worn. And he edged the whole thing in purple heartwood and then put a low VOC finish on it. So we have to create these things that are less toxic, but I'm able to create those things. I'm able to envision something. I'm not just taking what is in the showroom. I'm saying, this is what I want. These are my definitions, and I find somebody to make it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Great. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Mary, well, we only have a few minutes left. So what would you like to squeeze into the next 6 minutes?
Well, I thought I would just, you know, offer a few more tips if you'd like me to do that.
Please
do. So we just covered dust control. I think that's probably one of the most important things you can do to keep the current level of semi-volatile organic compounds down in your house, because we all have them. And I would also say, if you live in an area of the country that has a lot of termites, like, for example, Southern California, and I believe this is also true for Florida, and if you have a crawl space under your house, it would be a very good idea to have somebody go under the house and seal up all the holes with silicone, some kind of a silicone caulk. Don't use any foam sealants. And, you know, wherever you have plumbing and electrical that go through from the bottom, you know, from under the house into the house, those are big holes that should be completely sealed. And the reason is because in areas of the country where there's a lot of termites, it was standard practice to use toxic pesticides like DDT and chlordane around the perimeter of the house, so that the termites wouldn't go up into the wood framing. And those pesticides are also SVOCs, semi-volatiles. They don't go away. And you don't want the dust to rise up from the crawl into your house. So So that would be one way to hopefully reduce the amount of pesticides getting onto your house dust from your crawl space if you live in a big termite area like I do and Deborah does.
Mary, you would be horrified to come into my house and take the – I have a little tiny rug in my hallway because the air vent, you know, that big air vent that's on the floor, the incoming air, it is completely exposed to the dirt under my house. There is no crawl space. It's just 2 feet down. There's the dirt.
Oh, okay. Well, and there's no heat. Is there still heat coming out of that vent or no?
No.
Okay, that's good.
It's from an old system.
Oh,
we have a system that we don't use anymore.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, we have never used it. It just has never been taken out of the house.
Right.
But I have a rug over it because what we're actually going to do is, whenever we get around to it, is to put in hardwood floor. But because we can't match our 1940s oak hardwood floor, I'm just going to put in a pattern that makes it look like a little area rug.
Oh, good idea. That's a great idea. But, you know, in the meantime, Deborah, why don't you just take some heavy-duty aluminum foil and a couple layers and tape the edge around the edges with aluminum foil tape or blue tape on top of that if there's going to be any damage. You know, put blue tape down first, the painter's tape, and then the foil tape. And just get a good air seal over it and put your rug back over that so the air isn't coming up into the house from there until you get the floor fixed.
I'm going to do that. Very good idea. Very good idea.
Glad I could help.
We just don't always think of those things. You know, these are the kinds of things that the reason why Mary and I do our work is so that this kind of information can get collected and put out into the world so that we can all be protecting ourselves from toxic exposures.
Exactly, and creating healthy homes. And if you can only start in the bedroom, just get that room as perfect as possible. That's the most important room in the house.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Mary, so basically what you're doing right now is that you're doing consulting. So let's give, that's correct, right?
That's correct.
Consulting and education, and you can go speak to people's groups and things like that, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so they can go find out more about you at marycordaro.com.
That's right, and it's MaryCordaro. And thank you so much, Deborah. I really appreciate your letting people know about that, and I am really pretty much just consulting full-time on new construction and remodeling and also troubleshooting toxic situations that people have in their home, whether it's chemicals, mold, or problems with their ventilation system, moisture, any issues in the home that need solving that are toxic. So that's what I do. It's more the building end of things. As opposed to the lifestyle end of things. So I'm more in the building end of things.
Yeah, I think, Mary, you and I are very complimentary because you do the building and I do what goes in it.
Exactly. It's a great, great combination. I totally agree. And you've done so much for people on that. And so you've helped so many people.
Thank you.
And you make so much available at no cost at all. And it's just a real gift to people, and I've heard so many people tell me how thankful that they are that information is there for them.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It actually is a joy for me to do this. I just feel so strongly that something needs to be done to reverse this toxic situation. And last year I just looked at this and I said, you know, Deborah, you've been doing this for so long, and you're so knowledgeable. You need to get out there and do it more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, people need to know this. People need to know this. Okay, well, thank you so much, Mary, and we will talk soon. It's just been lovely to have you.
Thank you. It's just been a pleasure to be on with you, and thanks again for having me, and good luck with your new book. I know it's going to be a real big hit once again.
Thank you. Okay,
okay, bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye. That was Mary Cordaro, environmental consultant and certified biologist, talking about indoor air pollution. I'm Deborah Lynn Jad, and this is Toxic Free Toxic Radio. And today we are doing a 12-hour marathon. We're just finishing up hour four. And I have just found everything to be so interesting. I can't wait to talk to our next guest, who is Annie Bond, another old friend. And she and I have both been writing about how to make your homes less toxic for more than 20 years. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. I'm doing this 12-hour marathon today because I'm starting up Toxic Free Talk Radio as a place where weekly we're going to be able to talk about these things. You're going to be able to ask your questions. We're going to get this information out into the world about how people can live toxic-free by removing toxic chemicals from our homes and from our bodies. My new book is Toxic Free. You can go to my website at DebraNontoxic.com. That's DebraNontoxic.com. And if you've been listening and you like what you hear and you want more people to know about it, please feel free to go to Twitter or Facebook or any other place you'd like to and let people know that this marathon is happening and that I'm going to be here with great guests for another 6 hours until midnight tonight, Eastern Time. And now we're going to have a few minutes of music while I have a little break, and we'll be back in 3 minutes with Annie Berthold-Bond.